We're live there. Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. A little explosion there in the beginning, Greg.
That's how you start sometimes.
It just got to come out hot.
Right, let's do it.
So Get a Grip on Lighting is live right now from ArcLight 2023 and Nailed Convention 2023. Greg Eric.
Here we are, having some fun, seeing people. That's what it's all about, live in person.
Let's do it. You know where I think we got to go first, if you're sitting in front of a computer out there in live land, go to tcpi.com, Greg Eric.
That's right. Right here in front of me is the whole home bulb. Look at that thing.
Wow.
What they mean by the whole home is that it can get one light bulb for every room in your house. This one here is color and, or sorry, RGB tunable in any shade of white, all with a free app, Bluetooth controlled, ready to roll.
That's a little bit too loud there. Yeah, take that back a couple notches, a little bit more. So we go to tcpi.com for that. And, of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors celebrating their 46th annual convention.
With a couple of fresh hats.
Fresh hats, that's right. You go to naild.org, and we're here with Jill Cody. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Now, normally we have an introduction, and we get to read some stuff about you and your career, but we don't have that today. So you can just go ahead and tell us all about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm Jill Cody. I'm a principal at Darklight Design. We're a lighting design firm with offices in Seattle and St. Louis, and we work nationwide. Mm-hmm. I'm here today, though, in my role as Secretary Treasurer of the IELD Education Trust. So the trust is a nonprofit whose goal is to basically fund students to travel to seminars, conferences, and things like that. We also offer some scholarships as well, but really the goal is to connect students or those who aren't practicing yet with practicing people in the lighting industry.
Can you explain IALD?
Sorry. I know, because you guys have some similar letters, don't you? IALD is the International Association of Lighting Designers. So it's a trade group composed, really focused on lighting design as sort of that subset of the lighting ecosystem, as we like to call it.
Mm. Do you guys have conventions for the IALD?
The IALD has a conference in North America every year called Enlighten Americas, and then they also have Enlighten conferences in Asia and Europe as well.
And is it affiliated with any other group like IES or?
No, it's a separate group, but the IES and the IALD do work together on a lot of joint efforts.
Good. Okay. So your education trust. What exactly does that entail, and how did you go about getting it?
So, like I mentioned, we offer some scholarships, but really the focus is to connect those who aren't practicing yet with the industry so that they really get that spark. And I think when you talk to lighting designers, but I mean, I think most people in the lighting industry, there's something about what we do that people have really just like, at one moment they knew they just had to do it, right? Mm. And so trying to find a way to get people in to, I mean, I think most people would agree that the industry has a pipeline problem.
Yeah.
And so
we were just talking about it yesterday on one of our sessions.
Yeah. And so this is just one way that we're trying to help feed that pipeline. So, you know, tomorrow, for example, there will be, it's kind of student day here at ArcLight. There'll be a whole load of students. Some of them have actually been sponsored to come here through stipends that the Education Trust offers. Mm. So it's not so much, I mean, we do have some scholarships, but really the goal is to get the students out into these places where they can really see, touch, and meet the people that will, you know, hopefully connect them with this industry.
For sure. What other conventions you guys partner with or go to?
We've sponsored student stipends to Light Fair. Enlighten America is our conference. We are an international organization, so we also have sponsored students to Light and Building, for example. So it really, students generally apply to say, you know, I would like to go to this conference or that one. And we do have a limited number. We have a limited budget, but we're trying to make the most impact that we possibly can with it. So this is my chance now to say, if you see somebody walking around with one of these blue ribbons, that means that they've, you know, I'll sell you one for $20 is what I'll tell you, but you're free to give more. But it's just a way to also like raise the visibility of the fact that, you know, the trust is here, that we're trying to, you know, we're being active in the community. Mm-hmm. And if you'd also like to give, you can go online to ild.org and there is a, you know, a section for the trust and there is a donate button there. So serving on the board, really our job is to do two things. One is to like connect with the community so that we can raise the funds to do this. And then the other side is really connecting with the students to get them to come.
Because your funding right now comes through lighting design firms that pay a membership fee.
And a fair number of manufacturers, which we're really grateful for. We're really trying to kind of expand, understanding that the lighting industry, like, you know, people always say it's an ecosystem, which, you know, we totally understand because we all need each other in order to do this work. And so, and also because I think a lot of lighting people move around in the industry over the course of a career. So somebody might start out working in lighting design, they might move over to the rep side, they might transition into manufacturing. So to say, to sponsor somebody to come to something like this with the goal, you know, our goal, we love lighting design and, you know, we would love to have more lighting designers, but we also understand that they may choose to go somewhere else in the industry. So we're really trying to expand our, you know, throughout the industry to say, hey, you know, even as distributors, reps, we're trying to get more of that support as well.
Yeah, it's funny. We have all these segments and all these associations, but we all do a little bit of everything, right?
Like right.
Even we're distributors. We do a little bit of design, I guess you'd call it. And
I tell people what to do sometimes.
Every time, yeah. But it's just, I wonder if there's a way to joint effort more with a lot of these associations, right? Because everybody's doing their own thing with the same goal in mind.
Right. And I mean, I'd love to have, you know, more partners join us in terms of this. It's a very targeted effort that we have, which is, you know, we don't have the budget to support research, for example. There are other organizations that do that really well. Our goal here is to really just try to get those students to connect with practicing professionals. So like one of the things that we're doing here at ArcLight that we've also done at like our Enlighten conferences is we will have student portfolio reviews tomorrow. So if a student, you know, if they're headed towards graduation maybe, and, you know, they want a practicing professional to take a look at their portfolio and offer some feedback so that when they do go start interviewing for jobs, like they've kind of had another set of eyes on it that really is focused on what we're actually doing out in the world of practice today.
You mentioned the pipeline. We talked about it in one of our sessions yesterday. I can't remember which one. It's all like a bit of a blur, but I have some takeaways. you know, I once heard, you know, someone's, you know, say a kid wants to be a police officer. You hear that, right? Well, there's like 275 different careers in policing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and with lighting, it's the same way. I mean, there's all manner of different careers. And these jobs are meaningful and people enjoy doing them. And they get great, a great feeling of satisfaction when they do them well. And I think the industry is not doing could do a better job telling young people about these kinds of jobs we have in the lighting industry.
And so I think that's part of our goal here too, is that, you know, the bulk of the students that are coming tomorrow, and, you know, lighting design especially has this issue from an educational standpoint, is there are very few programs that are dedicated to producing lighting professionals, right?
Sure.
So we, you
know, industry training.
As a profession, we get a lot of sort of affiliated disciplines sort of coming in.
Sure.
So a lot of the students that are coming tomorrow will be interior design students. And actually, I got my training in interior design and then found my way to lighting. So just kind of, like you said, getting the visibility out there for this industry so that people understand that it even exists, right? I didn't even know this was a job until sometime in my 20s, right?
Sure.
So I think just anything that we can do across design and across the industry to just say, hey, this is, you know, this is something that's really impactful. We all know that, right? Like, we understand the value of lighting, how it impacts people, how it impacts health. And it's a really cool blend of sort of art and science. Everybody says that, but it really is, and that's what I love about my job.
How long have you been a member of IANA?
Oh gosh, I think since like 1999.
You personally?
Yeah. I'm kind of like a old school that way. I join and then no one can ever get rid of me.
So, and you're on the board right now?
I'm on the board of the Education Trust.
Okay.
So the Education Trust is a separate organization because they have different missions. So the ILD is really a, you know, a trade association. The trust is I can't remember the 401c3. It's a charitable organization. So it's different than a trade association, but we do work together because we're trying to solve a lot of the same problems. You know, we're trying to promote the lighting design industry through ILD. The trust is trying to create future lighting designers.
Yeah.
And so, when you do, then that's very much the pipeline, goal there.
When did you start the Education Trust?
The trust started, it's the 25th year of the trust. Okay. So we're having a fundraiser this year called 25 for 25. So if anybody would like to, you know, donate $1,000 or more, you could be one of those 25 grand sponsors. Yes. And the ILD itself is 50 something years yeah. old. Oh. So this was something that, you know, 25 years ago, there was just a decision, even back then, not so long ago, really, but that we could see how they didn't call it pipeline back then, but we really needed, you know, to find a way to connect with students.
And when you have these students that go through that process and get the funding, do they then stay as with ILD?
We haven't necessarily tracked whether they whether they really go into lighting design per se, but I will say that in order to even apply, you have to know that this is a profession, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You have to have some interest. So whether you end up as a lighting designer or in some other part of the industry, we're working actually to try and track a little bit better. It's a struggle to track students. I'll just say this, because they leave school and they kind of are like dandelion seeds. They kind of blow around, and it's a little bit hard during that transition from student to practice to kind of track them. Mm-hmm. They're in a big transition point in their own lives.
Yeah, and I know you're here to talk about that, but you also do lighting design.
I do,
and I don't know if he knows the name of it. Say that again, because you might like this name.
Dark light design.
Yeah, dark light design.
Yeah,
I do like that name.
Yeah. I like it too. I came up with it a long time ago. So
it's your firm then?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. So yeah. Why dark light design?
Well, I didn't want to name it after myself because I have a pretty pedestrian name. But also I remember being early in my career at some light fair seminar and, you know, somebody was talking again about like that, just very conceptual, like where do we need darkness and, you know, where do we need light? And I think, as lighting designers, a lot of our work is around not just what do we light, but what don't we light. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our joke at Dark Light Design is you need both, right? You need dark and you need light. And I don't mean dark, but I think it just speaks to really being mindful and thoughtful about what we do light and how we treat it. And, you know, we need some amount of contrast in order to like really get the effect that we're looking for. So we're trying to think about it all the way around. It's very easy, not easy. It's very doable to light something very, you know, we can all get enough light. That's not the issue. Yeah. I think it's really trying to speak to how do we want spaces to feel?
You know, I was just listening to the conversation here. You guys were going, I was enjoying the conversation.
I was opening it up for you, man. Dark light design. Yeah. That's what you're all about.
Yeah. You know, I think when you, and I was actually literally just listening to you guys there for a bit and enjoying it. You know, you think about the industry, we're the lighting industry. And I feel like it's time to become the lighting and darkness industry. And, you know, not elevate the value of darkness or find balance. No, that it's as important as our electric lighting is. And that our practitioners, particularly lighting designers, I mean, that's what you guys do, right? You have to start. You know, you have to start adding darkness to your designs as a first step towards a more holistic and mindful understanding of what we are doing on this planet in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. And so there's going to be a Lovers of Light. I don't know if you guys have so that's happening later
that guy
tonight
on the show.
Yeah. So I will be arguing against dark skies tonight on Lovers of Light. That's been my task given to me by Ron Steen. So I'm going to do it, but hopefully everybody understands that it's moderately satirical. what we're doing tonight, but really just, you know, that's also a benefit for the trust. But you know, I think back to your point, Michael, it's, people approach this in different ways. I mean, I think of it as kind of like selecting what you want to light and then doing that and thinking about the quality of that, right? And I've talked to other people who are almost subtractive. Like they think about lighting everything up and then they start to carve away, like maybe we don't need so much light here. Maybe we pull it away there. So I do think that whole idea of contrast, balance, all of that is, it's fascinating to me. That's why I still love my job. I've been doing this for 27 years and I still think what I do is pretty cool.
Hmm. And how has LED changed that for you? So you're going back to the 90s, you said.
Yeah.
Right? So you were doing CFLs and linear fluorescents and MR16s.
All of that.
And
my
all
favorite
that
lamp was ceramic metal halide. Yeah. Love that thing. Love that thing.
Yep. Yeah. Designer's favorite.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so you
the come... BE number one BE choice as far as you know back in those days.
Yeah.
And so you remember so you went through this transition. How much different is the practice today?
I think it's interesting. I was just in a TM30 seminar. So that, you know, just the fact that it sort of like created the absolute need for better color metrics, right? Yeah. Is kind of like, there's so much to nerd out on as far as LED goes. I think for us in practice, what's made it a little bit challenging is just, and why we need that metric is, you know, what is 3000K anyway? Like, what is 90 CRI anyway? Mm. I think when we had fewer sources, you know, like a triphosphor fluorescent at 3000K shifted a little bit, but there were three manufacturers. And so you kind of knew if you like went to this lamp manufacturer, they'd be consistent.
Sure.
I think what we're dealing with now is that there is no consistency, right? Between something like what is 3000K and what is 90 CRI. It could be all over the place. And so I think getting these metrics down is something I'm glad the industry is taking on. We'll see, you know, how one of the questions is like, how can we get these things adopted so that they can actually be put into practice? I mean, TM30 is a massively better metric. It communicates so much more than CRI, but CRI is simple. Like it's a number, you look at it, you go, yeah, you know, 80, 90, whatever. But it doesn't tell you a lot. So I think that's been, I mean, there's a million things that LEDs change, but I mean, just think about controls. It's like, wow, just color so much. I remember trying to do a color job like back in the early aughts. And, you know, back then there was like the red, green, and blue fluorescent lamps, and you could I mean, and now, you know, what's interesting is we have these students and just people early to the industry who have like no idea how much work it was before. It's like, oh, you just get a RGB fixture and you just hook it up and it goes. So it's been a really great time to be in the industry just to, you know, not everybody gets to live through so much technology change in the course of a career. We've done projects with like IoT, PoE stuff. And I think like where that goes is super interesting. Well, it'll sort of play out. But for a girl who went to design school, I feel like, gosh, I'm like learning an awful lot about, you know, computer networks and things just to do my job anymore. So it's cool because there's always something.
Mm. All right. You know, when you, you see, how much do you value that you talked about the younger people having no idea about how things used to be? I'm a big believer that understanding the legacy side of lighting is extremely important to understanding where we're going. And I think we should teach it more thoroughly to new entrants in the business. A lot of people think that's a waste of time. What are your thoughts, Joan?
I don't know how they could ever really truly comprehend it, right? Because you really had to sort of swim in that pool in order to understand like what the difference is with this one. I think where they kind of sometimes start to understand is when we get to things like detailing, right? And it's like, okay, in order to make this cove in the olden days, you know, we used to need this much space. And now, and they're just used to living in this world literally where like everything is small. And so I don't know if that is necessarily harmful. It does definitely give me an appreciation for how much more we can do now that we didn't used to be able to do, or that was so hard to maintain, or, you know, like fill in the blank here.
Well, you know, there's, I don't know if I'm going to describe this correctly, viewers out there, but there was a transition from mechanical analog to digital with space and travel, and we can't go to the moon anymore. You understand what I mean?
Right.
And they used to be able to go to the moon, apparently.
Depends who you believe.
No, they went. I think they went there four times, so it's not like they went there just once. But you know, so when we transition like this, there's knowledge lost. You know, and I don't know how the industry preserves it, but I think it's important. I don't know why though.
Yeah, but I think it's good to have context. So, like, think about like forward phase dimming, right?
Okay.
Forward phase dimming was an easy way to dim an incandescent lamp.
Sure.
Like power on, power off, power on, power, right? We still use it, which is what's strange. So I think for a younger person to have the context of like, why are you chopping a wave up to control a computer chip? Great question, right?
Yeah, sure.
Or why are you sending a 0-10 volt signal to control a computer chip? I think it's that they don't necessarily understand why we're doing that in the first place. Mm. Like it's a legacy control protocol that was fit for a different technology, right? Mm. So like we have discussions with our younger team all the time about all these different ways that you can control things and what it means to chop a wave and what it means to send a separate signal, what it means to send a digital signal. I think they just, the idea of chopping a wave is like, they can't quite wrap their heads around why would you do that instead of just sending a digital signal, which I think we could all ask ourselves, right? Like, why is it taking so long for digital protocol to like really get in market saturation that would, you know, drive a different base protocol?
So we produce the Lighting Controls podcast, which they talk about that all the time. And we have the Nailed has a new Lighting Controls Integrators Council that we've launched. So it's, you can join Nailed if you're just a Lighting Controls Integrator.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're trying to figure this out.
Isn't it crazy though that like now we need integrators just to do lighting control?
I know.
But it's like, it's absolutely, it's necessary.
Totally. Oh, totally.
But it's like, how have they gotten so complex and they're so dumb still? Yeah. I don't know. I try not to think too hard about it because there are certain things that start my little spinny wheel going. That's one of them.
Jill Cody, it's been such a wonderful pleasure to be with you and spend some time with you here. Do you have any final thoughts for the Get a Grip on Lighting listeners?
Oh, no. Thanks, you guys, for having me. Let me talk about the trust and just shooting the breeze about how cool lighting is.
There you go.
It's been fun. Yep.
You know what's really cool, Greg?
What's that?
The whole home light bulb.
Oh, this one right here.
Yeah, that one you got in your hand right there.
No, we talked about controllability. This one's easy. Bluetooth connected free app. And you can change the color, white or RGB. All right there, TCP.
We're live from the Dallas Market Center, ArcLight 2023, Nailed Convention 2023. Thank you all for listening.